I think one of the most interesting things I've been thinking about, like, at least the biggest question I'm most interested in on the on that level is about a feature of the universe that is we take for granted but is actually, like, kind of strange, the fact that any electron is interchangeable. Like, it doesn't matter which electron, or any, you know, fundamental particle, that's an understanding, is, like, you can interchange them, which actually means that there might be, like, there electrons might be different. Of course, they could be whole universes, but that means that, like, nothing going on their level is detectable on our level.
And the other thing that really blew my mind when it was presented this way is that if some of the equations, you know, were just slightly different, the universe as we know it couldn't exist, right?
Yeah, well, that,
that, you know?
But what is that telling us? Is that telling us scientists don't like the idea that, like, the reason we can perceive this is because we're the only possible result. But why is that a bad result? That makes perfect sense. And the way, like, each electron could be its own universe is, like, the most beautiful explanation about how the universe could be infinite. Like, we can't understand an infinite universe, but we could see how it would work. You just have, like, universes and electrons, and it doesn't matter because they're all interchangeable. Like, no energy or mass can be interchanged. No information, energy, or mass can be interchanged between these two levels, and then they're separate.
And if you want to understand it better, you go and see the movie Men in Black, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. If you're interested in the subject, then that's a good first source, I would say.
Send your students there and say, read science fiction, some of the wildest ideas, you know, end up being science.
Okay. Well, they're going to be science at some level. I think, like, I'm turned off when people don't even want to think about, like, the physical explanation. Like, I mean, if you're going to believe in something else, that's fine, but you can't say, like, the physical situation is irrelevant. Even, like, even if I believed in God, I would have the exact same thoughts, and that would be, I would be just as appreciative.
And there are, you know, enough scientists who, you know, are able to kind of separate those thoughts and not make
them. Seems like a lot of scientists.
Yeah.
I totally understand that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's such a beautiful system, the idea that, you know, there's something even more beautiful than that.
Creating. Exactly. I mean, if anything, it should enhance your faith, you know, when you see the beauty and the complexity and the fact that there are creatures that can relate and understand that. Okay? There's nothing more miraculous than that. You know, even though you can explain it both in physics and biology and chemistry, you know, all together. But the problem is when religion, you know, is trying to overtake and, you know, become also science. Okay, I mean, that's counterproductive to them, let alone, you know, to everything else, conflicts and...
I just don't think it's accurate. Like, I mean, you can understand, you can ask all of these questions and still have that separation if you know what you're talking about.
So all of it is about the brain. Okay, our discussions.
No, not necessarily. You know, like, what I think it's like a brain is a possible outcome of this system, but there could be things way more complex, and we can see that.
It's
like,
it's not only a possible; it's like, an accidental. You know, our brain, at least.
Everything's.
Totally.
Accidental.
But
that's that's.
And that's,
I mean,
upsetting. You know.
Thermodynamically, that is like the ultimate balance, is the randomness versus organization. Like,
In general, but not necessarily in a self, you know, a awareness of the brain.
Why not?
It's not a necessary, you know.
You just said it was. You need randomness. You need the accidental component of natural selection. If you have no random variation, there's no...
No, I understand. But you can end up with bacteria that fulfills, you know, all these... you know, generating order out of disorder. You don't need to go all the way to mammals, you know, or to human, you know, evolution.
No, you don't need to, but I'm saying it's that mechanism that has persisted.
The potential of doing it.
Right, so what that means, like, when I pass, there's this site at Land's End that has really tickled me recently. It's just this quarry site where there's three there's three troughs, huge stone troughs, and there's like big boulders in the right. There's kind of like rocks you could throw in the middle, and it's a very coarse sand on the left. And every time I pass that, my thought is like, one definition of the universe is it is a closed system in which, in certain exotic conditions, boulders will even themselves out. What is the mechanism of that? It's complicated, has a long natural history, which, you know, you have spent your career helping us understand. But at its base level, like, that's what that is, thermodynamically. Like, when you study thermodynamics in, like, the beginning of engineering school, they do cartoons for you. It's like, this is entropy. You have a bunch of big boulders, or you have a bunch of mixed boulders, or a bunch of separated boulders, they're always going to mix. That's, like, the law, the second law of thermodynamics. But in, like, contained circumstances, there can be pockets, since it's a closed system, there can be pockets where you get high levels of organization, and you look at what DNA is, how it's a base four molecular code that can largely fix itself and persist as, like, an incredibly long molecule that would really fall apart under most circumstances, even if you could just drop it in.
Yeah.
And, like, the level of information exchange where you have a base four code that's has a mechanism for producing biological systems. Like,
I mean, it is amazing how, you know, the sequence of, you know, how you generate the organism, you know, the proteins, the RNA, the DNA, you know, a machinery like that. But what kind of struck me...
But does that not require, like, disorder at every level? Like, that's the... Thermodynamically, natural selection is order plus disorder.
That's fine.
And they're mixing.
That's fine.
But if they don't mix in the right proportion.
Exactly. And that's the genius of Darwin, who didn't know about DNA and still predicted, okay, that you need some variations that are random, okay, in order to have variation that you can, you know, act the natural selection.
Yeah.
Without those variation, everything will be static.
They always say it was very, like, very satisfying when Watson and Crick actually discovered it made perfect sense instantly. It was like such an elegant solution.
Of course.
And you're right, like, for them to observe that effect without knowing the mechanism.
Exactly.
And then science showing
it. Feel confidence, okay, you know, out of a phenotype, you know, to...
So take DNA, like, that's a base 4 system. Take that to base 400, and you still have, like, you have biology, but it's nothing. It would be, like, you'd have to start with different mathematics, and you'd have a different biology that would still be biology.
Well, we also have base 20 of proteins. So
yeah,
base
true.
4, so it doesn't go, it goes base 4, you know, to base 20.
Yeah, but that's not surprising. Like, if you're taking, if you're converting binary information into analog
information. Sure, three steps,
Yeah, take as many steps as you want. It's just like what's on the extreme end.
But again, all the prediction, because base 4 can generate 64 variations.
Yeah,
right?
A lot.
Well, 64 in terms of potential amino acid, and it created only 20, which means that you have you know, a lot of room there, you know, for variations. So that certain amino acids have three or four codes, and some have one. Okay, and again, if you see which one what, you can see that has to do with structure and
That's that it seems like
it's
that
the
process.
The degenerated code.
That process is always happening, right? Even with individuals. That's sort of digital
all
information.
Levels.
So, but that that's been reminding me lately of just like how to see the limits of the world that we can't understand. It's just like getting clues, and those
yeah,
have been
but you are, we were initially, our discussion wasn't about the limits, but the richness that may be, you know, even not conscious for us, I mean the 400 or 200 or what have you, that may have secondary and tertiary, you know, orders that, you know, maybe we consciously don't understand it, but somehow it's registered, you know?
The idea of a continuum, for me, has just been, like, many things where time and time again, we're being shown that things we don't think are continuums either are partly continuums or able to be continuums and whatever the opposite of continuum. That's the idea of quantum mechanics, right? Yeah. Like, we can't understand how a particle can be, it can have mass as a particle, but also be a continuum. Because any wavelength is a continuum. And for me, like, that just makes me think of loops. So, like, everything I've been thinking of has just been basically, like, the universe, the substructure of the universe at every level is just a series of loops. And, like, the fundamental, just the idea that the fundamental building block in structures of time, space, mass, energy is always a loop. I mean, like a string.
Even now, what, almost 100 years after that, you know, the best physicist will not have an easy description of how a photon can be both a particle and a wave, right? You know, there's something fundamental, very difficult.
But it also occurs on human scales, too. Like, I've been noticing other kinds of loops, like the teaching loop, where when you're a student, you have your favorite teachers have their favorite students, and there's like a very, I would call it love, like exchange of love, like you loved your favorite teachers. Both Aaron and I have like favorite teachers that were like really important to us, and now that we're both teachers, I just had a moment, it was this year or last year, where I just realized that this too is a loop. Like, now I'm a teacher, and when I'm at my best, I'm just doing nothing but like giving love to my students.
And, no, those are the cycle of life.
And but then, like realize. Cycles of the moon, which also cause all these different effects and all the, like, the beautiful patterns, like the mathematical nature of everything that's around us on every level. And if you just stop and are able to look at it, is like deeply, deeply beautiful.
Yeah.
You could take a bush and that could be like... deeply beautiful.
Generational cycles, though, really interesting.
It goes on forever.
But
I find it's also like, it makes me feel really good about the way I've been using, for me, like different materials and different kinds of pieces, because that's really what ties them all together. So I don't feel like, oh, making a screen print and then some video piece and then like this sound piece. Like, it actually, I felt pretty excited that I found something that like ties everything together.
Yeah, well, looking at that, you know, from the outside, I mean, for me it's striking, just looking, 10, 15 years, you know, ago, kind of starting with, you know, just the mechanic of printing, you know, which was, you know, something new and exciting, and how far away you've taken it, okay? I mean, that's what I always tell students, our kids, you know, once you go into depth, once you become an expert, once you make a commitment, you know, you find the richness of it. You cannot just superficially, you know, go over things, okay, and just skim, you know, and really, you know, have the full experience, okay? You don't have to have a lifetime, but really taking it to the limit, at least of your interest.
Well, for me, printing is... it's copying something. So that I think the reason I had tendencies already, and being at the Exploratorium recently actually reminded me that I was thinking about on this level a lot. But
I mean, you know, what's really interesting is sometimes the whole seed to that can be totally accidental, right? I mean, you saw something, as we see hundreds of things, and we just pass on, okay? And occasionally, you know, you kind of get a little bit farther, and that's it. You got caught into,
I think, know, when you copy things specifically, like, there has to be a like, artistically, there has to be a reason to copy something. Like, why is the copy better than some other form of rendering?
But you didn't start, you know, with the printing with that idea per se.
No, I'm just saying, no. Yeah. What I'm saying is, like, it came, thinking about that process a lot is just, like, thinking about what
because
you're
you've
doing.
Done it for 10 years and, you know, you evolved.
I agree. I'm not arguing. I'm not saying you're wrong. Yeah. I'm saying, like, for me specifically, the process of printing has had that result.
Well, just like the DNA, right? No?
Yeah, things emerge.
Enough variation for you, you know, to kind of get out from, you know, the very...
Oh, you do, absolutely. That's been, like, the hardest thing for me is, like, especially with printing, because the part you control and the part you leave for random chance is, like, you can actually calibrate those. And so my natural tendency, of course, is to try and control everything. Yeah. But of course... Oh, it's a turkey. Or a peacock.
Oh, yeah. Let's
go. All right, I guess that conversation's worth it.
You can finish what you're saying. Sorry, I didn't want you to miss the turkey.
Oh. Is it a turkey or a peacock?
I think it's a wild turkey, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. What is it? A wild...
45, guys.
Here, look, 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 look behind you. A survivor from Thanksgiving.
Escape.
I think we should go eat something. It's 2:45, otherwise we can't eat close for lunch and dinner. We'll ruin our dinner.
Drive to wherever they have nice restaurants. I mean, you know,
something
for lunch. Richmond or...
Light, nothing
look
serious.
Here.
Oh, yeah.
So back to, you know, well, it is an oak, right?
I thought it was a live oak, but I have this book that sometimes can tell me.
Well, I have something else. I have an app.
That'll tell you what it is.
Suppose by leaves.
Yeah.
By leaves.
You just take a picture of it?
Yeah. It. I have so many applications sometimes. Scan.
No. My foot hurts. It's enough walking for the day.
Is that in science? Reference?
Did you figure out what it is?
No, I didn't.
Oh, here. Plant finder. Let's see if something will come out.
This is ridiculous.
Okay, good sampling, though.
Okay. Application, take picture.
Did you say those leaves are shorter than 2 inches?
Yeah. Well, the really big ones are maybe bigger.
So there you go, that's what you have to be able to determine.
Yeah.
If they're longer, it's not woolly.
Yep. Oh, it's leaf snap.
The chunk has white birch, or bark hits birch, which it does not.
Nope.
Leaf margin has sharply pointed teeth and V-shaped notches. Or if
sharply
they're rounded.
Pointed teeth and rounded notches.
What's that?
Sharply pointed teeth and rounded notches.
Almost prickly at the tip.
Right. Okay, you need... You need that in a white bed.
Okay. If the very edge of the leaf is rolled under.
Yeah.
Red alder. I guess it could be a red alder.
It looks smoother than that.
That's the thing with this book. It's like,
it's
not that reliable. Do you want a snack, Mom?
No. I'm going to eat something. I don't want to ruin my appetite.
It's just a...
Yeah, I
for me, one little piece is, does the trick.
All right.
What is it?
I'm not going to push food on you because I don't want to set a bad example.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. Very good. A bite?
They are really good.
Yeah. Usually the rice cakes are totally
messy.
Yeah. They get Cheeto dust everywhere, but except it's more like nutritional yeast and salt.
What are they called? Corn tins.
Here, Mom, if you're interested, you can have a tiny bit.
It doesn't ruin.
Don't know me.
There you go, just a nibble.
Tasty. It's very tasty.
Are you
tasty.
Into it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you into it?
No, for times that I want to have a snack, yeah.
You are into it?
I am into it.
Into it means you like it.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
Very much. I could eat those instead of bread.
Just wondering.
Oh, hello.
Very tasty.
Hello, good boy. Did you see the turkey? Oh, the eating. You don't want it. You've got to have salt, right? You want attention?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
We are. So we're going to the car. We'll drive and have some little nice, not lunch, something, mini lunch.
Yeah. Can you walk back to the car, or do you need to come get you?
I can. The more I walk, it gets better.
Okay. It's just stiff.
Yeah, it's stiff, especially in the morning.
Yeah.